What is up, everybody? Welcome to Plant the Spear podcast. This is going to be our post-game show for the Duquesne game, Florida State. Let's get excited, guys. Florida State is 1-0 for the first time since 2016, and let me tell you, it feels good because I've been to the last couple of season openers prior to Notre Dame, and you get tired of your season being over after, well, not over, but disappointing after game one. So, you know, there's reason to be excited in Tallahassee. Florida State dominated Duquesne. I know there's some things that need to be improved on, some things that people are going to kind of point a negative light at, and that's okay because it's game one. Things like that are going to happen. You were missing a lot of key pieces that weren't there that I think really would have cleaned things up a little bit. Florida State won 47-7. Obviously, a 40-point victory is great. They didn't cover the spread, but in my opinion, if Florida State had pressed, you know, a little harder, if they took the starters out pretty early, because they've already been getting bit by the injury bug, which is something we'll speak on later. But if Florida State really would have tried to lay on the gas for a little longer, I think it would have been, you know, they could have really realistically maybe hit 60. But they seemed to run the ball a lot. It was a very vanilla game plan for them. Obviously, you don't want to show LSU much. Defense was kind of the same way. They weren't really running many blitz packages. They weren't really running many exotic fronts or anything like that. They were just kind of playing straight up because they knew Duquesne wasn't really going to be able to move the ball a whole lot. I want to say going into halftime, they had maybe, I think it was less than 90 yards of offense. Florida State was over 350 yards. To finish the game, Florida State had over 600 yards. And let's see, Duquesne had 164 total yards. Florida State had 638. So, I mean, it really was an absolutely dominating performance. I know it's against Duquesne. It's supposed to be that way. This was exactly what you were supposed to do against a Duquesne team. There's some things that need to be cleaned up going into next week for certain. I will say when they first started out, they were a little slow to really kind of find a rhythm. And I got concerned early on, I'm not going to lie. Not that they were going to lose to Duquesne or anything, just more about next week and the matchup with LSU. But I think they did find some rhythm. But this was one of the reasons why we said that this game was so important, was obviously not win-loss-wise because you assumed they were going to win. Now, of course, if they were lost, it would have been vastly important. But this game was so important because for Florida State to go in and beat LSU, I think this week zero game is just, it is so underrated to be able to shake that rust off, to be able to figure some things out, to be able to get some guys some confidence who haven't really played a whole lot. And that was something that you were able to do. Of course, keep in mind, Florida State was missing a lot of pieces. Ontario Wilson was out. Amarion Cooper was out. Maurice Smith obviously is out. You had Johnny Wilson left early. Hopefully he's okay, and looks like his ankle got rolled up on. Hopefully that's not too serious. Darius Washington left early too. Hopefully his is minor. Both of those guys were said to be walking around on the sideline afterwards. No boots or anything, maybe an ankle wrap for Johnny Wilson. So it doesn't look to be serious, but obviously you don't know that until they're able to go to a medical facility and be evaluated, you know, with like an X-ray or MRI. Now, unfortunately, Amari Gaynor was seen in a boot with crutches. Again, it's precautionary until you have the X-rays. You obviously want to just keep him in the boot just to be on the safe side. So hopefully Amari's fine because linebacker depth already took a hit this week with Steven Dix Jr. being out. But, you know, overall, I think it was a good performance. It was week zero against a scrappy little Duquesne team who really didn't do anything. So I think there was a lot of positives to be taken from this game. So what we'll do is we'll just go offense, defense, and special teams, just kind of give an overview of it. On offense, Jordan Travis had a pretty efficient night, 11-15, 207 yards. He didn't throw for any touchdowns, but he was pretty close on two. Johnny Wilson dropped one on the goal line. Should have been a catch. It was pretty contested, but that was the thing with Johnny that we were kind of focusing on this year, was his consistency and limiting drops. He did make up for it later with a nice touchdown, which was the one he got injured on. But then you had, or not a touchdown, but a nice catch later on where he had a broke kind of a longer one. So that was positive to see. But then you have, he had the one to Portier that was down on like the 6 yard line. So he was pretty close to throwing for 2 touchdowns. So I'm not really going to hold that against him. I'm not really worried about that. They ran the ball in. This is a running team. So, you know, cut the guy some slack. But overall, I think he had a pretty good night. I really wish he would kind of be a little more careful on some of his runs. He took a few hits that I really didn't want to see him take against a team like Duquesne. So, Jordan, I doubt you're listening to this podcast, but if you are, brother, please protect yourself because we need you badly. That's what brings me to my next topic, which is Tate Rodemaker and the backup quarterback position. And this is where I'm going to take a little negative turn here. I want to be overall positive because it is excellent for Florida State to start 1-0, excellent to get a 40-point win. Even if it is an FCS team, those type of wins haven't happened a lot recently around here. So you have to enjoy each and every one of them. Doak looked good. It was packed. The crowd was loud. So that was positive in this type of win. So everybody showed up for that. It was good. But what I was saying was with Tate Rodemaker, it looked like his freshman performance all over again. He really didn't play last year. In 2019, when he came in, it was, you know, whether you want to argue or not, it was an unfair situation as a true freshman. He just looked lost. He didn't look like he didn't know what he was doing. And when he came in tonight, it looked no different. It looked like the same type of player. It had JJ Constantino vibes, and it just wasn't what you were hoping to see after all the positive reports. I mean, I wish I lived closer to Tallahassee so I could see with my own eyes what everyone else saw, because there was a lot of hype put around this guy from the guys who watched practice. And now I don't want to write Tate off yet. I don't want to say that Tate is terrible because of tonight alone, but his performance was bad, and we were told that he was past this. Now, that's not to say that there aren't practice players, guys who can light it up in practice, but when the lights come on, they just can't perform. And so far, with what we've seen, that has been the case with Tate. You move to A.J. Duffy. He got a little bit of a burn tonight, too. Well, real quick on Tate, his numbers, he was 2 of 6 for 15 yards and one interception. That was almost a pick six. So, to me, with seeing A.J. Duffy get a little burn tonight, and he was able to run. He had one run for 5 yards. He stuck his head down, kind of bowled over some dudes, which was nice to see. But your most likely future at the position, especially considering with the way 2023 recruiting is, knowing that your future, unless you can get someone in the portal, is probably Luke Cromenhawk, who's not till class of 2024. You're probably going to need A.J. Duffy to be your guy at quarterback in the future, and probably sooner than later, depending on what Jordan Travis does at the end of the season. And at this point, unless you find somebody in the portal, I really hope Jordan Travis decides he wants to play college football for one more year. The thing is with A.J. Duffy is if you're going to have a guy who's not playing great, like if you don't have a Sean McGuire-type quarterback that can come in for you in a situation where you need him and still perform and you're going to have growing pains, why not do it with the future of the position? Who is more than likely A.J. Duffy rather than Tate Rodemaker. Again, Tate can still improve. He can still get better. But from what we've seen so far, at no point in the season can you rely on him, especially in a pressure situation against a good defense. His pass was just, it was terrible. I mean, it was poorly thrown, and it was a bad read. It should have never happened, and that's all we've ever seen from him in a game situation. And I said in the offensive preview, in the quarterback preview, that this offense would more than likely live and die with Jordan Travis's health. And that seems more apparent than ever now. And so that probably needs to be taken into account into the game planning going forward. You have to use Jordan Travis's legs. He has a dynamic ability. You have to lean on that, but you have to protect him because, guys, I mean, I don't mean to sound grim, but if there's no Jordan, unless A.J. Duffy gets good quick, this offense could fall off a cliff. I mean, or at least it's going to be one-dimensional at best because Tate just, he's not it right now. And I hope he improves. I hope he gets better. I want nothing but the best for the kid. But it's just not there right now. At running back, this completely shifts gears, guys, because I am like jumping out of my seat for these guys. This is an exciting group. I think obviously Florida State was a run heavy team last year. They're obviously going to be a run heavy team this year after what we saw tonight. This position group was one in the early season where we, or in a preseason where I said I felt like this group probably had the most potential, but still had to show it because Trey Benson really didn't have any stats. He just had a good spring game. Trayshawn Ward had some good stats, but he was never really RB1 for you. And then Toa Fili was very good, but a little inconsistent. And like tonight, they were like, okay, well, watch this. You know, I don't know if they listened to the episode and was like, well, let me show you a little something, because those guys absolutely ate all over this defense tonight. First time in Florida State history that three running backs have went over 100 yards. Florida State rushed for over 400 yards on the ground. Toa Fili he's an electric kind of scat back. I think he broke at least three or four sets of ankles. His cut is just absolutely nasty. Trey Benson kind of has like some Cam Akers vibes. He's got a lot of power. He runs with force. And I'm pretty sure he had about 150 broken tackles. I mean, the guy just refused to go down. And I'm so excited to watch him play. He said he wanted to be the first 1,000-yard rusher since Cam Akers. And I don't know that he'll get 1,000 only because they're splitting snaps. But if he was the RB1 full-time, I have no doubt in my mind he would make it there. All three guys are special. This is who you want to build your team around, build your offense around. And if nothing else, at least you have good depth too, because you have three guys who equally look good. Like I said, I wouldn't even put it 1, 2, and 3. I would have called it 1A, 1B, and 1C. And impressive that they had, or the performance they had was very impressive. So you just really can't say enough about that group. I'm super excited. So Trayshawn Ward had 14 carries, 127 yards, 9.1 average. Per carry, 2 touchdowns. Benson was 11 carries, 105, 9.5 yards per attempt, 1 touchdown. Toa Fili was 13 carries, 101 yards, 7.8 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, all very good. Even Rodney Hill, now I know a lot of it was in garbage time, but he still had average 6.1 yards a carry. So that was good. This whole room looks very impressive. I mean, even Rodney Hill looked really good. So this is something to look forward to, hang your hat on this year on this group. Obviously, I know it's Duquesne, so let me just calm down a little bit. But if you saw some of the runs, you know, obviously you watched the game, you saw some of the runs. Trayshawn Ward is just carrying half the defense as far as he wants to. I mean, it almost looked like the one run looked like James Wilder against Clemson, where you're just dragging bodies left and right. I mean, they just couldn't bring him down. He kind of gives you some Devontae Freeman vibes there. So, again, I'm so excited about this group because you're going to need him this year. Moving on to the real quick, what I was saying about the level of competition, next week's going to be a completely different game. They're probably not going to all run for over 100 yards apiece next week. The defense you're going to face next week is an absolutely different animal. The offensive line had some struggles tonight, which we're going to talk about in a second. But overall, I mean, this group is your strength this year. So it was an excellent performance to start the season. They put everybody on notice that they have a three-headed monster in the backfield in Tallahassee. And, let's move on to the receivers. So overall, the receiver group, I think, looked good tonight. Florida State obviously ran the ball a ton. They weren't really airing it out a whole lot, but overall, I think the group was good. Ontario Wilson did not play tonight, so there's somebody that you add to the fold. He was Florida State's leading receiver last year. He didn't play at all. Portier, he really stepped up tonight. He had a really big game. He had 4 receptions, 84 yards, average of 21 yards a catch. He had a long of 48, which obviously makes that happen. He didn't score, but he got really close. And that was the thing. Jordan didn't throw for any touchdowns, like we said, but he was so close. And so Portier, he didn't get his touchdown, but he was like 5 yards away. And if he's the guy who can emerge for you, then that's going to be huge because he's got size. I mean, he's 6'3", 210 pounds. He's a big receiver. He can go up and get it over some guys, which we saw tonight. Again, the competition is going to be a lot stronger moving forward. So we need to see it against some FBS teams, but he really flashed tonight. And if you can have an extra guy that you weren't counting on emerge, that's going to be big. And truthfully, Malik McLean was kind of inconsistent, as we've seen over his whole career. I think that Portier is going to supplant him on the depth chart, which you had Malik McLean started over Johnny Wilson. I believe that was the case on the depth chart, and I don't believe that'll be the case anymore. I don't know if there was something going on there. He only had one reception for 3 yards. But again, Portier, he really showed out. So you may have a guy you weren't even counting on. Johnny Wilson, of course, he looks to be like he could be something special. I mean, that guy is huge. He's 6'7". He just towers over everybody, and he runs like a deer. I mean, he just, you know, even I believe that's what the commentator said. And he's just, he's got something that you don't see often, and you just need him to be able to put it together on a consistent basis. Like I said, he did drop one touchdown pass, which was a very contested catch. But that's the thing, is you got to be able to see that, see those drops go away so he can be a consistent target. But he did have the one catch for 51 yards, but he does, you know, he looks like he can be an impact player for you. Obviously, he left early on the big catch. He got his ankle rolled up on, which hopefully is nothing. Like I said, he was walking around afterwards just in a little bit of a wrap. I believe Norvell commented that they would see soon. Maybe tomorrow or something like that. So not a lot of action, but he just looks good out there. And Micah Pittman had 4 catches for 44 yards, had a lot of screen work, which I think is the type of receiver Micah Pittman is. He works the whole field well. He's able to catch it over the middle. He's able to do the screens because he's not the biggest receiver. But he had a solid night too, and he really does like to stick his nose in there and fight for extra yards. So I think he had a good performance from him. If I remember correctly, he kind of left the game a little bit early. He stayed in as punt return, but he wasn't on the offense for a lot of the game. But he did make an impact tonight. Again, he's going to be another solid receiver for you. The passing game really didn't show you much tonight, of course. So just keep that in mind. Again, they're probably keeping it very, very vanilla, running the ball a lot because it's their strength, and trying to keep the clock moving so they can get out of here. Deuce Spann, 3 catches for 40 yards, and this guy looks really promising, guys. He is an unbelievable athlete with good size, and a lot of people thought he wasn't going to do a whole lot for you this year because he was just transitioned from the quarterback spot, but he seems to be developing a lot faster. He looks natural when he catches the ball. His routes look good. So I think with more work, more experience, he can be a guy that can make some plays for you. We just need to see how a lot of these receivers do against better cornerbacks, better safeties, which they're going to see next week. They're going to be tested because LSU may have a lot of new guys, a lot of mismatched pieces through the portal, but they have a lot of talent, and it's not going to be anything like this Duquesne defense was. But overall, I just want to say, when you look at the group, including missing Ontario Wilson, you have a lot better, a lot higher ceiling this year than you did last year. Last year, the receiver group was just, I mean, they were not good. Like, they were one of the worst ones in the conference. And this year, you at least have that ceiling. You have guys who have size. You have guys who have athletic ability. You have guys who can make catches all over the field. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of drops tonight, even in the first game. And so that's something that you can look forward to. Again, Jordan looked good. He looked crisp. He had a couple of balls where he threw behind them. They still made some of the catches, but that's first game jitters, first game rust. So, you know, you get all that stuff cleaned up, and I think the passing game can have a good year. We'll just have to see what it does against some better defenses. Up front on offensive line, it was a good performance overall, I think, given all the injuries they had. It wasn't spectacular by any means. I mean, they opened up some good holes. Obviously, you don't run for 400 yards on the ground if you didn't block at least okay. I think Jordan didn't have a ton of time back there in the pocket. They were able to get some push on you. Florida State had to bring in dig into its depth a lot tonight. Like I said, we saw Darius Washington leave at one point with injury. And, you know, in a week zero game, like we talked about, if anybody is even remotely injured, you don't bring them back in, because even if they can play, you don't want to risk it against a team that you don't really need them. So hopefully Darius is fine and they just were overly precautionary, which I would hope. And from the performance I saw, I mean, we even saw Dylan Gibbons at center at one point. Luckily, the snaps weren't necessarily pretty, but they weren't terrible either. But I'm not gonna blow sunshine on you guys. I'm worried about next week and Florida State's line being able to block LSU's front. They should have easily overpowered Duquesne's line, you know, like it was nothing. And now they had a couple of guys on their defensive line that were their best players. So I will say that, like, the best players on Duquesne were some of their defensive linemen. But they were able to do some things tonight that you have to realize when you play a team that's got a talent level on the front seven like LSU has, it could be a problem. And this is something that's going to have to get cleaned up. I really, really, really would love to hear news that Maurice Smith is back next week and that Darius is fine, because the injury bug has bit Florida State already and it's starting to get into its depth. And now Caden Lyles looks like you really wish you had him, so he could have come in and filled in at center tonight. So it's going to be something to watch going forward. Hopefully they can get some of these guys back. But overall, I mean, I think they were okay. I think it's game one with a new offensive line, which, like we talked about in the offensive preview, offensive line takes time and cohesiveness to become a good unit. So sometimes in the first game, you might miss some calls, you might go the wrong way, you might have some miscommunications on who to block, who goes to the next level, and things like that. And those are things that you get cleaned up, because as they say, you normally make the most improvement from week one to week two. And so that's a big area that you could see improvement on, is just getting some things cleaned up and getting some guys, if they're healthy, back in the lineup. But next week, this is going to be my biggest concern. It was my biggest concern going into the game already, but I definitely don't feel any better about it after tonight. But I do feel better about the running backs. I do feel better about the wide receivers. I feel about the same about Jordan, because I knew he can be a better passer than he gets credit for. He really didn't run a whole lot tonight, but obviously you don't want him to run a lot tonight. So moving on to the defense, we'll start up front with the defensive line. There's been a lot of talk that it was not an impressive performance, and I want to say that I'm kind of in agreement there. They didn't get a whole lot of pass rush. It was kind of lackluster. They didn't make a whole lot of negative plays, but Duquesne also didn't really do anything. They only had 164 yards or something like that. They only had like 80 yards in the first half. They really weren't able to move the ball at all, and so you saw some things early on that need to get cleaned up as far as some missed assignments and stuff like that. But they also ran a lot of quick developing plays, if that makes sense. Like, they didn't do a lot of dropbacks and stuff like that because they probably knew they were overmatched up front, and so that kind of neutralizes your line to a degree. So you have to take that into account as well. But you do need to see a little bit more from the defensive line. I will say that, like, next week, because you do have an offensive line that has some question marks of its own that you're going to play next week. But when I was actually doing some LSU homework earlier today, their offensive line may have some questions, but they're all big guys. They're all, I think it was like 6'5", all 300 pounds. And so you're going to have to step up your performance a little more next week. Like I said, again, the game plan that they ran was very vanilla. They weren't running a lot of exotic fronts. They weren't doing a lot of blitz packages because they don't want to show LSU anything, because they didn't have to. They still won by 40 points running base defense. And so just keep that in mind before, you know, we go in too hard on them, because I still think it's a great group. I still think they can be special. Luckily, no one really got injured or anything banged up off that group, which is a good sign. So they should all be available for next week. And again, this is why you have a game zero, to work out the kinks and stuff. But I do need to see a better performance next week from them, but I think you got to take into context what you saw this week. It was not a bad performance by any means. Moving to linebacker, guys, I'm excited about this group. This is like the running backs of the defense for me. This is probably the most excited group I'm excited about on the whole defense. Tatum Bethune looks to be like that dude. He was what I said was one of the most underrated, or what I felt anyway, was one of the most underrated, undervalued transfers of the offseason, coming in from UCF as a 100-plus tackler. He was all over the place tonight. He had a pass breakup, at least one that I saw. He had a few negative plays, and he just seems to kind of be that guy in the middle of the field that's just all over the place. It just quietly puts together a great game. And that was a huge impact for this defense to have him. Obviously, with Amari Gaynor going down, now you're kind of worried a little bit about your depth and with Steven Dix out. But, you know, you did get a good game also from DJ Lundy, and you also have Kalen DeLoach too. So this is a pretty good linebacker group. Brendan Gant made an appearance tonight. So you're getting thinner, and that could be an issue later down the season. And, again, you got a lot of tougher competition coming up. But I feel really good about the linebacker group. I think this is the best linebacker group Florida State has had in a long time. And I think with some more time in the system a little bit and, you know, cleaning some things up, I think this is something you can feel good about going forward. Going on to the secondary, there were some pieces missing. Obviously, Amarion Cooper was out, which is huge. Jamie Robinson had some big plays tonight, a couple of them. You know, he really didn't get a whole lot of chance because they never really made it back to the safety level a whole lot. But he did have some pass breakups and some nice tackles. So Jamie Robinson just doing Jamie Robinson things. And I think that aspect, the safeties will be fine. The corners, you might want to see a little more improvement from, especially like you got to have Cooper back. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Amarion Cooper needs to be back in this defense next week against LSU. I think that's a must because what we saw tonight out of 7, it's just kind of been the same thing we saw before. He's a kind of a liability at the position. He had one nice pass breakup. I'll give him that. But they target him because they know that there's some inconsistencies there in his coverage. And we saw that again tonight. So I don't think that's who you want as your starting cornerback. But overall, I think once you get all the pieces back, again, tonight's that night that you work out the kinks. You get everybody lined up correctly. You get all the signals hammered out and everything. They were running base defense and stuff. So I think the secondary will be fine moving forward. They'll get some things cleaned up. You get your starters back. But next week you're going to need a better performance because you have a really talented, really athletic wide receiver group next week. So they're going to be tested a lot. And so that's something that you need to see. I mean, you had their leading receiver was 3 catches for 44 yards and a touchdown. Kind of came in a chunk play. Obviously, they didn't do much through the air, so I'm not saying that it was a bad performance by the secondary, but the quality receiver you saw tonight is – this is the position group where outside of maybe the front 7 where you're going to see the biggest jump in opposing talent in week 2 is going to be the LSU wide receiver group because this is going to be a really talented group. So you're going to need – Amarion, well, I was thinking about who I'm about to say next week, but you need Amarion Cooper back because of Kayshawn Boutte. You can't have 7 covering him or you're going to be giving up touchdowns a good portion of the night. You need Amarion Cooper to be able to go out there and cover Boutte, and even that's going to be a challenge. But so hopefully he's back for next week. But overall, I think the secondary did okay. Overall, the defense is good. You know, I'm not trying to sound negative by no means. I'm extremely happy with the performance that the defense had. They didn't even give up 200 yards, so that's a positive. But they dominated like they should have. There's just some things that you need to be cleaned up for next week. There were some dumb penalties. You know, speaking of the player with the dumb penalty on the sideline that cost you 15 yards and a first down for a late hit, that was absolutely there was no point in it. I mean, there was just no point in it. Of course, Mike Norvell got on him, which is good to see. But that's something that next week you can't afford to give LSU 15 yards and a first down in plus territory. That could end up costing you, maybe even the game, in a tight game. So you got to clean that stuff up. But I will say one other thing I want to comment on is Norvell's intensity tonight. I think it was good to see at the end of the half. He was trying to call timeouts and get the ball back, maybe block a punt, get some extra points. He was super aggressive with that. He was kind of fired up a little bit. He just seemed intense during his halftime interview. Some things he was disappointed in that they wanted to get cleaned up because I think he expects a lot out of this team. So I did like seeing that tonight. You just want to see him focused and locked in, and I thought we saw that, and that was good. So, you know, this team had to be looking towards LSU a little bit. I mean, there's no way around it. Obviously, you want to beat Duquesne. You know they had to have in their back of their mind last year, the Jacksonville State loss. So you got to come out and beat a team like this. But I'm sure there was a little bit of look ahead to LSU. I mean, how can you not? So you hope at least maybe that was a little bit of the influence besides just being the first game. And the intensity level will be all that more next week. As far as special teams goes, you didn't really see anything out of the return game. They kind of fumbled one little bit. Not fumbled it, but they bobbled the kick a little bit. At least they got it back. You didn't really see anything by way of returns. Sam McCall had two kick returns for 26 yards. Punt returns, they had 7 yards to return. So didn't really impress you. The punts weren't that great, though. So there wasn't like it was a long punt where Micah Pittman had, he was covered almost by the time he caught the ball because it wasn't exactly a long punt. But he did catch him, and that is what you want to see at least is a sure-handed receiver back there. I will say I think the kick coverage tonight was night and day from last year. Those guys are head-hunting on that side of the ball, which was something I was really happy to see because special teams was so bad last year, including kick coverage. I think that looked 100 times better. Of course, you're going to have a lot better athletes to do it against next week, but that's a positive as well. Kick coverage was great tonight. As far as kicking, Fitzgerald was 2 of 2 on his field goals, 5 of 5 on extra points, so that's positive to see. They were both short field goals, but again, it gives you some confidence going into next week, and it was nice to see him nail all his kicks. Mastromano only had one punt, but it was a 52-yard punt, and it was down inside the 20, like right around the 5. So at least he got him one punt in tonight. You knew you weren't going to punt a whole lot, but it was a good one that he had. So that's positive going into next week. So again, there was some to kind of wrap this up. This is an unedited post-game show, so I'm just going to give my final thoughts wrapping up until we get a chance to like actually dig into the film and see some more of the advanced stats and things like that. And so in the next episode, we'll kind of give a little further in-depth review of what we learned before we preview LSU. But just my overall thoughts tonight was you saw the first game rust there, I think, early on. And I think there are some things that could be improved and cleaned up. But overall, it was a good performance. I think offense was effective the way they needed to be. I think defense was dominated a team that they should have. You have a lot of positives. I think you saw some guys emerge. I think you have to keep in mind it was a vanilla game plan with a lot of guys out. But overall, it was a really good performance. It felt good to get a win in front of a nice home crowd. And now you get some momentum going into next week against LSU. And like we talked about, this was why this game was so important. Because do I think they would have beat – now, this is, of course, not seeing LSU, but – do I think their performance tonight would have beat LSU? Maybe not, but you get this game now with you have film to look at, you have some adjustments you can make, you now have some kinks worked out, and that really plays well into next week. That gives you an advantage that LSU does not have. That's why even against Duquesne, this was a very important game, and I think they had a good performance, and hopefully they'll get what they need to get cleaned up, but you don't learn a whole lot from this game. I can't say that I really feel much better or much worse after this one. I don't think we learned a ton. You know, like I said, I think the pass game has a higher upside than maybe I thought, but did about what I expected. I think the running game was far superior to what I expected, even with high expectations. I think blocking is going to be a concern, but could possibly be okay if they get all the starters back. Defense need to see a little more out of the pass rush. Can't wait to see them open the playbook a little bit more, start running some blitz packages, because I think that'll really open things up on the defense that we just didn't see tonight. But overall, it wasn't a bad performance. So that's going to be it, guys. That's just kind of my overall thoughts. I think it was still a good performance, a good win for Florida State. 47-7 over Duquesne. Mike Norvell gets his first season opening win. Florida State gets the first season opening win since 2016. It's all smiles for me, guys. I'm just looking forward to the LSU game next week. Hopefully they can really bring their A game. Like we mentioned, they say the most improvement comes from week 1 to week 2, and you got that week 1 to week 2 where LSU didn't. And so that's another reason why I'm excited, but they're going to need to bring their A game. They're going to need to, fire on all cylinders next week, because LSU is going to be a night and day compared to what they saw tonight. But I'm I'm not selling or buying anything after tonight, but you know, again, it's just it was a good feeling win, and I'm glad that they were able to handle their business. We've kind of buried the whole FCS upset talk now, put that in the past. I think we can finally bury the all the JSU crap and everything. So it was good to be able to put your foot on the throat of an FCS team and handle your business. And now you don't have to worry about hearing about that too much anymore. So thank you guys for tuning in. Be sure to check out the episode next week. What we'll do is we'll just kind of do an in-depth review of what happened, what we learned, what I saw once we were able to get into the film and kind of be able to stop it and rewind it and watch different position groups a little more in depth and everything. And then we'll talk about LSU a little more in depth, starting to do some homework. I will be traveling to the game at some point next week. I actually even have I got an exciting opportunity to appear on an LSU radio station next week, next Friday morning to preview the game. So I'm really excited about that too. But be on the lookout for the next week's episode. And thank you for listening, guys. Hey, we're 1-0. We are 1-0. And I'm excited about it. So thanks for listening, and go Noles.